Let's dive right in. After 6 years, a comprehensive social area analysis for Nuremberg and Fürth has finally been published. I find this really exciting, especially given how much these cities have changed.
Absolutely. And what's special this time? The analysis no longer uses the old statistical districts, but instead works with a brand new division. Every sub-area now has at least 1,000 residents, which really boosts the reliability of the data.
But there is a small drawback. This makes it a bit harder to compare with older analyses. Still, if you look closely, you can spot some interesting trends.
That's exactly what makes it so intriguing. I'm especially curious about how the differences and similarities between Nuremberg and Fürth were worked out. Should we take a look at the different social area types?
What I find remarkable about the analysis, the study steps were conducted separately for each city. Both ended up with 6 social area types. They're comparable, but their location and spread differ quite a bit.
Right. And the indicators focused on 3 dimensions: demographics, social situation, and the built environment. This gives a really comprehensive picture of how different living conditions are in the districts.
The results make it very clear how a city doesn't function the same way everywhere. This is incredibly valuable for urban planning.
Absolutely. Dividing into 6 types per city also helps to focus on specific needs. For example, with funding programs or social services. Maybe we should step back. How has the social area analysis developed over time?
Actually, this is already the 5th round of the social area analysis. It all began around 20 years ago with the idea of creating new foundations for urban planning and also for the office's election analyses.
Even back then, it was emphasized that the focus was never on individuals, but always on the structure of the areas. That prevents any premature conclusions about single people.
That's important, and it's remained a priority over the years. Now, the analyses are regularly updated to stay responsive to current developments.
That really makes sense. Cities are constantly changing, through people moving in, new construction projects, or social shifts. Still, analyses from recent years show that social spatial structures often remain very stable. That's why it's so worthwhile to look at the individual types.
When I think of the city and inner city districts, I picture dense buildings and lots of shops. What I find especially interesting is how different Nuremberg and Fürth are in this area.
Exactly. In Nuremberg, commercial use is much more dominant. Lots of shops, offices, and administration. In Fürth, it's more mixed, with many residential buildings above the ground floor shops.
History plays a big role too. Fürth still has many old buildings from before 1945, while Nuremberg has large gaps due to World War II.
And socially, both cities show a higher risk of poverty in these areas, especially among children and elderly residents. There are also more singles and single parents living there, often only for short periods.
Let's focus on the socially strained districts. It's very clear here. Many factors come together that point to poverty and social challenges.
What's striking to me? In Nuremberg, all poverty indicators are much higher in these areas. More children in households receiving benefits, more unemployed people, and often you find large families, more single parents, and a higher proportion of residents with a migration background.
The picture is similar in Fürth, though the differences compared to the city center districts are a bit less stark, but you can see a real ring of social tension around the city center.
What's also interesting is the diversity within this type. Some districts are younger and more international. Others have more old buildings or long-term residents. The variety is really remarkable.
When I think of the moderate districts, I imagine a social melting pot. People from all sorts of backgrounds live side by side here.
That's actually true. Lots of families with migration backgrounds, singles, single parents, all mixed together. Interestingly, these districts in Nuremberg show little social tension. In Fürth, it's a bit more noticeable, but still moderate.
From a housing perspective, you see plenty of apartment blocks, high population density, and not many single-family homes. That's really characteristic of these neighborhoods.
And depending on the sub-area, you find different emphases. Sometimes more singles, sometimes more children or seniors. Even differences in the proportion of old or new buildings. It really shows how diverse city life can be.
The densely populated residential districts on the outskirts are interesting too, especially in Nuremberg. There are quite a few, and they're pretty family-friendly, right?
Definitely. There are lots of children living here. People often have a strong attachment to their area, and the mix of single-family homes and large apartment blocks makes it lively. There's a high proportion of people with migration backgrounds, but across all groups, there are hardly any pronounced poverty structures.
To me, these districts seem like little islands of diversity, very different groups, plenty of kids, and also older people who have lived there for decades.
Exactly. Depending on the sub-area, you find either very stable social structures or more mixed ones. Still, overall, the picture remains positive and stable.
Now, let's look at the young family districts. So much is happening there. They're especially shaped by new developments and lots of children.
What stands out? In Nuremberg, these districts are more scattered, often developed on former brownfield sites as part of urban densification. In Fürth, there are larger, contiguous areas, especially in the north and south.
And socially, it's fascinating. There are lots of households with children, including many with migration backgrounds. But poverty indicators usually aren't high here.
The range is still broad. Some sub-areas are home mostly to singles. Others have a more rural character. This diversity brings real vibrancy to the cities.
And then there are the established family districts. For me, that's almost the cliche of suburban life. Lots of green space, single-family homes, and a strong sense of community.
That fits. There are lots of seniors here, but also many families with children. And residents often stay for decades, although a generational shift is already apparent. Living space per person is quite large, and poverty is hardly visible.
Still, there are differences. In some parts, there are more people with migration backgrounds. In others, mainly older or younger residents. Even in these seemingly homogeneous areas, there's surprising diversity.
What I find impressive, these districts often include the rural outskirts of the cities and combine tradition with new developments, like new single-family homes being built.
If we sum it all up, the social area analysis shows one thing above all. Cities are incredibly diverse, even within individual districts.
Absolutely. And for policymakers and administrators, that's a huge asset. It allows a more targeted approach to needs, since you know where the challenges and opportunities lie.
I think the most important thing is that these analyses don't put people in boxes, but instead help to see the diversity and draw the right conclusions for the future.
Exactly. And they encourage us to keep looking. How are cities evolving? Where is change needed? It's an ongoing process, and the Office for Urban Research and Statistics will continue to observe it closely.
If you're interested in more information on this topic, just check out our website at www.statistik.nuremberg.de and browse our reports and data offerings.